Hey folks, it's Marvin Cash, the host of the Articulate Fly, and we're back with another East Tennessee Fishing Report with Ellis Ward. Ellis, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Marv. How are you?
As always, just trying to stay out of trouble. Sounds like you've, despite daylight savings time, you've got a little fishing withdrawal.
Yeah, a little bit. I hit the methadone clinic. That's not appropriate. I scratched the itch today with my daughter. We went to a little zone for some smallmouth fish and bait, but as I'm sure you can recall with 5 years old, those plans don't really mean much when you're out there and it's kind of sunny. Fish weren't biting, so I put a couple casts out there. It felt nice.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, do you consider hot dogs live bait?
Depends on how long you let them sit outside.
That's fair. So, you know, we were talking before we started recording and, you know, kind of the end of muskie season and really kind of looking forward to, some pretty nice hatches, on your neck of the woods in, I don't know, probably next month or so.
Yeah, it is. We're getting into spawning season up on the French Broad, not quite there yet. Last scheduled muskie trip was last week and we had to call that one on account of rain. And yeah, I'll probably sneak in another few days up there talking with some guys that fished today, and not a whole lot's changed. And we had a whole lot of water that coincided with another little cold snap. So with nights being in the 30s and days being in the, 50, low 60s, it's not going to be there quite yet. And as far as the tailwaters, it's everything shaping up to be a pretty good spring. I've gotten hopeful before that so much rain and such a consistent amount of rain, and, seeing some of these tributaries like the Doe River on the Watauga and Freestones, the French Broad, the Nolichucky, everything just so happy and healthy and much more so than I've seen the last 2, maybe 3 years. I still like rain whenever it's coming, and it's nice to have this right now. We'll have good water. I'm pretty light. My books are pretty light for the next couple of weeks. A few trips here and there, but it can be a little tough to watch the really good conditions, knowing that hoping that folks are waiting for the quote unquote good weather. Obviously, some rate does a lot. But yeah, everything's shaping up quite well right now. Good releases on both rivers. As we get warmer and the daylight starts to go from under 12 to over 12, we're going to start seeing a bunch of different stuff. But the first big one going to be caddis here in probably under a month on the Watauga, and then sulfurs and PMDs everywhere, both, and it's tailwaters. You can get good days of dry fly fishing in middle of January, but pretty special time of year coming up. This time of year is also, when I say caddis and sulfur, it's like you had school bus size balls of shad moving up into the rivers and down your lake mouths. The lake is filling back up and times are changing.
Yeah, so, big brown trout and probably makes the stripers happy too, right?
Yeah. I haven't had the opportunity to have a conversation with the striper, but the ones that are here are stocked and don't naturally reproduce. So whether or not they're following the cooler water, the more oxygenated river water, I mean, they're still down in the lake, but they're going to be lower. Or if it's some sort of false spawn, which certainly does occur in other stretches of the Holston proper. I'm just talking about from Boone into the South Holston, Watauga. Remains to be seen, but it's kind of different means to the same end.
There you go. And got a question for you from Brenner, our probably most frequent question asker on the Articulate Fly. And he wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, how much does pushing water with a big head fly matter?
Sure. So I'm going to make some assumptions about this. And I think in making these assumptions, or at least in saying that I'm making these assumptions, I would say it's important to think about the question that you're asking. That might be too condescending to just say that plainly, but it's important to ask yourself, why is this a thing? Why is pushing water a thing? And so I've approached this, and we talked about this. I'm expecting to wake up in about 8.5 hours when you put me down, as I start going and going and going for 15 minutes straight. But there's just a lot here. And especially in the world of streamer fishing, which I think falls into the trap of what sounds good, what works enough to gain some traction, and once you're there, it's fishing. I mean, if you have something that works enough to gain traction, bang, it's going to work because they're fish. They're going to eat something that's moving. So as a rule, I would say that some form of taper is important. When you're talking about activating lateral lines and what that actually means to a fish, you know, dispersing water, I struggle to think that something that is not aero or hydrodynamic. So when you think of push, I would also maybe categorize that or rephrase that as drag. When you're pulling something through the water and it feels draggy, that's because it's not aero or hydrodynamic. It's kind of a nightmare to cast, depending on how it's weighted. And when you're dragging it through the water, it's creating a disturbance because not necessarily displacing water because of the volume, it's displacing water because of the friction. So I'm going to reference my swim bug, which is a pretty small, I think a lot of people think that the fly is bigger than it ends up being, but the head is really, it's packed deer hair with some epoxy, and Marv, you've casted and fished the thing. You can't feel it. It casts like a dream. You can't feel it moving through the water. And then when we change to kind of a bigger one, or I'll put on one with just a couple pieces of chelate on the hook bend, you can feel the difference. Like, whoa, what am I fishing now? Then you put on a dungeon. It's like, whew, cast way different. You can feel it dragging through the water. I love that fly for different reasons. So the swim bug, quote unquote, pushes water because it actually displaces, it's a solid piece of something that is moving through the water and it's buoyant. So if you think about putting a bouncy ball or an inflatable ball into a bathtub, it's going to push all the water out. If you put something, a bowling ball into the bathtub, it's, you know, there's some physics 101 in there. But there's more force on something that's buoyant. So the swim fly thing is, there's more rabbit holes down that direction too. But the reason I kind of kicked off with it's important to have some taper is that, be it buoyant or something weighted, as long as you do have taper, you're going to get a swim out of it. And I'm going to go ahead and say, just having watched these fish eat so much, they're activated visually, and you can, you know, swim blindly with a fly unless that thing's got a rattle, or it's one of Blaine's gummy minnows, or you're fishing Rapalas. You're not doing anything with a fly to create some sort of lateral line disturbance. So I would say going higher in the water column and creating more of an obstruction from above down below with light and just going after them visually probably is safer bet than worrying about what's pushing. And then as a tire, it's, you know, exploring what that push is and how you can get it without buoyancy. And I think I'm going to stop there before we get into tying.
I'm going to bait you and say, you know, there's the lateral line stimulation, but then also, you know, with articulation in the big head, then you get to start playing with jackknifing and killing the flies, right, and getting side profile.
Yeah, I mean, my swim bug, and I've had more than one person give me a hard time because it's drunk and disorderly with a different head, which I think would be a disservice to call it that, a disservice to Tommy. I created this fly taking from primarily Tommy Lynch's Drunk and Disorderly and Blaine Chocolate's T-Bone. I was tying a lot of musky flies at the time. I was just getting here and just able to fish as much as it takes to actually see the feedback to say, okay, I want this or I want that. And it really became attempting to get that jackknife in a small package, castable, all that stuff. And Tommy's fly is just so great, and I wanted to keep a lot that was there. And then taking the T-bone or just, you know, some of those three shanker triples and trying to get that dog walk, basically, but have something where the back end swinging out and the head stopping and going left or right.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. And, you know, folks, we love questions at The Articulate Fly. You can email them to us or DM us on social media, whatever's easiest for you. And if we use your question, I will send you some Articulate Fly swag. And we're in a drawing for some cool stuff from Ellis at the end of the season. And Ellis, before I let you go, a couple things. You know, I imagine there are probably no more bucktail drops, but you can certainly correct me. And then also just kind of let folks know how to reach out and talk fishing with you and get on your guidebook.
Yeah, so there is going to be, there's bucktail just stubbornly hanging around. And that's mostly because the moment I get free time, I end up doing something else. So I'm going to stop promising a date on that, but there will be another one. And I do have some good tales that will be in that. And as far as contacting me, fishing with me, you can get on Instagram and sort of follow along with some of the stuff I'm doing at Ellis Ward Guides. Information on booking and sort of a refreshed website is at ellis-ward-flies.com. And the best way to talk about, you know, some of this stuff we talked about, what's going on, what fishing looks like right now or in a couple of weeks, is my cell phone at 513-543-0019.
There you go. And so do you think if someone wanted like a bucktail in their Easter basket, that would be a doable thing?
Yeah, you're getting me. Now I'm thinking about make like a giant Easter basket with using the bucktail as bunny ears.
Oh, yeah, you could do that or dye in pastel and have all kinds of pastel colors and yellows and greens.
Pastels are popular.
Yeah.
I really like these things to be out in the next week or two.
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, so folks, remember, we have a Patreon community, The Articulate Fly, and there are two great ways to support the show and support Ellis. And one tier will get you 10% off the last bucktail shipment of the year, and there's another that'll get you $100 guide credit per year. So, you know, if you're in East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, Western North Carolina, you want to fish with Ellis or get some bucktails, you should check that out. And, you know, gosh, I'm looking at the weather. I mean, it's going to be awesome. I think it maybe rains a little bit this weekend, but we're in the 70s, so it's definitely time in our part of the world to get on the water and catch a few. Tight lines, everybody. Tight lines, Ellis.
Appreciate it, Marv.